I hope you enjoyed the video at the start. If you did enjoy the video, if you Google the Nativity, the boyfriend, there are a few more episodes and you can see what happens next. As someone who came, who worked at a church in Finchley on the Northern Line for 10 years, I particularly liked that line. But I also liked the wonderful line at the end, got a name, got a name. I mean, this baby has to be the most famous baby in the world. You know, if you ask the question on Pointless, are there any secret Pointless fans here? Secret Pointless, no longer a secret, no longer you're outed now. But if you don't know what Pointless is, they ask 100 people a question, and the idea is to guess the right question they didn't answer. But if you asked 100 people, whose birthday are we celebrating at Christmas? I hope we'd be up in the 90s. I mean, there's always one or two who, for whatever reason, don't know the answer. But I hope we'd be in the 90s, that people know that we are celebrating Christmas. We are celebrating Jesus' birthday. Christ's Mass is where the name came from back in the Middle Ages. Christ's Mass, Christmas. We celebrate Jesus Christ. The clue is in the name. But many people use the name of Jesus Christ as a curse rather than a blessing. Our youth worker Ben was saying last week he was in Marks and Spencer's and he heard the loudest public proclamation of Jesus Christ that he'd ever heard as someone read the price of a hot water bottle. He thinks they were cursing rather than praying. But that's slightly ironic because someone told me the joke, what happens if you take Christ out of Christmas? You're just left with M&S. Think about it. It's a spelling thing. Don't think about it for too long. But got a name. The name Jesus Christ is an incredibly significant name. Some people think Christ is like Jesus' surname. They think that it was Mary and Joseph Christ and their baby son Jesus. That's not the case. That is not the case. Christ was a title. It's a title. It means anointed. And it was given to Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. At one stage in his life, Jesus asks one of his followers, Simon Peter, he asks him a question. You've got to remember, Simon Peter has followed this man for the last few years. He's seen him. He's seen him commit miracles. He's seen him heal people. He's watched him closely. And Jesus says to him, who do you say I am? To which Simon Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gives him that title. You are the anointed one. You're the one we've been waiting for. And Jesus means rescuer, savior. So Jesus Christ means the anointed rescuer. It's a great name. It's a really cool name, Jesus Christ. The anointed rescuer. Anytime you say Jesus Christ, you're saying the anointed rescuer. To the early church, this was the title they gave Jesus, the rescuer, the anointed one. What's in a name? What's in your name? What does your name mean? Do you know what your name means? I know some parents who name their children because of the meaning of the name. We named our boys Thomas and Luke because we liked the names. We didn't look at the meanings first. And I think my parents named me similarly because they liked the name. And growing up, I liked the name Simon. I liked the fact there was a disciple, Simon Peter, and he was like one of the sort of leaders, and I liked that Simon. Yeah. And when I was growing up as well on the telly, there was the saint, Simon Templar. Yeah, I think apparently someone told me he's made a comeback. He's on Netflix now. But I saw the original Simon Templar, the saint. And for those of you who are too young to remember the saint, he was like a cool James Bond. My name is Kirby, Simon Kirby. Yeah. Nowadays, the only one on telly called Simon is Simon Cowell, and I'm not overly impressed with that one. But then in my teens, I discovered what my name meant. I found a name book because this was pre-Google. And I looked up in the name book what my name meant. And as I was going through the names, I was hoping it was going to say, mighty warrior, man of courage, brave heart. And I got to Simon and it said, snub-nosed. Simon means snub-nosed. Now, that felt particularly unfair because as my nose can be called many things, but it would never be called snubbed. And as a teenager, my nose had grown out of proportion to my head. My head fortunately caught up with it a bit. But as a teenager, my nose was enormous proportionally. And teenagers are kind, aren't they? They don't spot these things. They don't point out differences or weaknesses. And so not every day was my mighty beak referred to in any way. Unfortunately, as I say, my head sort of caught up with me. And if I could have changed one thing as a teenager, one physically thing, it would have been my nose. And yet my name meant snub-nosed. I don't know if there's anything in your life that you wanted to change when you were a teenager. I don't know if there's anything in your life that you want to change now. And I'm not just talking physical. I'm talking emotional, relational, spiritual. What do you want to be more hopeful, more joy-filled, more peaceful? Vicky spoke of peace. Josh spoke of peace. How do you want the future to be different from the past? What do you want 2018 to be like? What are your hopes? Jesus in the Bible changed Simon's name. He called him Simon Peter. And Peter means the rock. And he said, I'm going to build my church on you. And he did. Simon Peter became one of the leaders in the early church. And this movement that now is millions worldwide was started by Simon Peter and the apostles. The transformation, though, took place not when his name was changed. It took place on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. On the morning where Simon met the risen Jesus, where he encountered him. He was transformed, life changed. He changed. Jesus changes things. He brings transformation. He still brings transformation. Transformation of direction, of purpose. He gives meaning. Jesus didn't change my name, but he made me comfortable in my skin. And nearly 30 years ago, I discovered the life-changing love that meant that Jesus came in to our world. I experienced a personal transformation, which is the reason that I'm the vicar at COGS 30 years later. And there are millions of people around the world who have made and keep making this discovery that this is not just a story to be told at Christmas time. I've met young and old, rich and poor, people whose lives were amazing, people whose lives were in a mess, people whose lives were very ordinary. The thing that these people have in common is that they encounter Jesus and discover he's not just a baby, but a life changer, an anointed rescuer. Changes lives and changes situations when asked to get involved. What's in a name? For to us a child is born. To us a son is given and the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Anyone ever need a counselor, a protector, a loving, everlasting Father, a sense of peace? All of those things are contained in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is wonderful, and names are important. A final story about names. Many of you will know I'm a governor at Blake School. I go in and do collective worship assemblies in the school. And afterwards, because that's years 1 to 6, I'll pop into reception and say hello to the reception children so they know me. And this is an online learning journal. I have been given permission to read Freddie's online learning journal from when I popped into reception. Freddie was in the previous service and enjoyed me reading his journal. In fact, his dad's playing the keyboard over there. But Miss Rowlands, the reception teacher, wrote this. Simon, the vicar from St. Mary's Cogs, popped into reception to say hello to all the children. He said hello to Freddie, then waved goodbye. Freddie came over to me and said, I know him, I just can't remember his name. I see him at Big Church. I replied, his name begins with a S. Can you remember? Freddie stretched the S sound, then said, Son of God. I laughed. He laughed too. Do you know why I'm laughing, Freddie? He smiled. No. Well, do you know who the Son of God is? Freddie thought for a while, then replied, Jesus. And is Simon Jesus? No. And he giggled. Now, while that could well have fed into any Messiah complex that I might have, my first response was to go, Lord, that is not what I'm teaching the children at Blake School. But then I reflected on what Freddie had said, and I reflected on John's Gospel, the first bit of John's Gospel, which is often read at carol services. And verse 9 says this, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." You see, I'm not the Son of God, but I am a Son of God. I am a child of God. I've discovered that. And many here have discovered that as well. We're part of the biggest family in the world, the family of the Christian faith. And the child that we celebrate at Christmas is that gift to us. And we had a reading at the start that spoke of the anointed rescuer who was to come. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. That's an incredibly comforting thing. That whatever we're facing, whatever's going well, whatever is proving difficult, God has promised that he will be with us if we ask him. And the heart of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the anointed rescuer who meets with us where we are, who loves us as we are, who introduces us to the everlasting Father, who brings peace to the most difficult of situations, and who, whatever we're facing, is with us if we ask him to be. I want to finish by asking you two questions. Jesus spent a lot of time asking questions, and I want to ask two questions on behalf of him. The first is the one he asked Simon Peter. "Who do you say I am?" Because I believe that's one of the most important questions in the world. Who is Jesus? Because if he is who I believe he is, it's important to get to know him. And if you're interested, Alpha is a great way to discover more. But the second question is the one that Jesus asks a blind man before he heals him. "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Now, you thought Jesus would know because that was pretty obvious. The guy was blind. But sometimes Jesus wants us to actually give him an answer. And I believe he wants to ask each of us that question tonight, whether we're convinced followers of him already, whether we're questioners of whether we're really very skeptical about the whole Jesus business. I believe he asks each of us, "What do you want me to do for you this Christmas?" I'd encourage you to answer that question and to see what he does for you, to see what the anointed rescuer can do. I just want to pray for us before we draw our service to a close. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus, who we remember at this time of year. Thank you that we don't just have to remember him at Christmas, but that we can know him with us through the whole of life. And thank you that your promise is you will be with us, whatever we're facing, good or bad, if we ask. And as you ask us that question, what can you do for us this Christmas? Help us to answer and to hear your voice speak to us.